الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Assalamu alaikum, alhamdulillah wabarakatuh. Welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I am your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to your authentic rites and rituals of the faith of Islam. Please call your friends and let them know that Islamic studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you or some paper, pen, or pens, paper, pen, or somewhere taking notes. And also, by the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. Those who are new listeners, our new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class. In today's class, our topic will be on backbiting. Allah says in the Quran, and I want you all to turn to chapter 49, verse 12. Again, chapter 49, verse 12. This entire chapter does not pertain to what we're going to talk about, but a portion of it does talk about the particular subject we're going to get into today. Well, Allah says again, hope you got to the page, chapter 49, verse 12. You all should be there by now. This is a class, and your textbook for this class, or the main textbook for this class, is to have a Quran near you. And you get the Quran for free. Go to Y Islam, and they will mail you a Quran either in English or Arabic, which is the original language of the Quran, or Spanish, or Hebrew, whatever you want, or they have available, and they will send it to you, and you can follow along with us. Understanding that Quran was presented in Arabic. Its original text is Arabic. Everything else is a translation to the best of the people's ability. They're translating the Arabic into whatever language, Spanish or French or whatever it may be. So after saying all that, again, you turn to chapter 49, verse 12, and it says, O you who believe, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, avoid much suspicion. Indeed, some suspicion is sin. And spy not, neither backbite one another. Will you like to eat the flesh of his dead brother? You would hate it. And have taqwa of Allah, being piety of Allah. And verily, Allah is the one who forgives and accepts repentance and most merciful. Again, it says here to avoid backbiting, and is similar to one where you like to eat the flesh of dead flesh of your brother's back, or eat your dead brother's flesh. No one would want to do that. Everyone would hate to do that. Can you imagine doing such a thing? That's similar to what when you talk about backbiting in comparison. You're basically doing the same thing. It's like chewing up or eating the body or the back of your dead brother, or of course, or sister. Also, I want to emphasize, it was related by one of Prophet's companion, Hudhaifah, who said that a backbiter will not enter paradise. And all the different scholars agree to this. A backbiter, that a person that backbite, talk about a person behind their back, will not enter paradise. And so let me explain from Islamic standpoint what the Prophet, may peace and blessings upon him, said what backbiting is. Abu Huraira, one of the Prophet's companions, may peace and blessings be upon him, he said to the Messenger of Allah, may peace and blessings upon him, said, He said, for example, he said, O Messenger of Allah. Or the Messenger of Allah said to him, do you know what backbiting is? The companion said, Allah and his messenger know best or know better. Thereupon, he replied, or he said, backbiting is talking about your Muslim brother in a manner which he dislikes. It was also said to him, what if my Muslim brother what I said is true, really, about him? He said, if he is actually as you say, then that is backbiting. But if that is not true, then it is slander. So either way, the individual be wrong. If it's true what they're saying about their brother or their sister, whomever, it still be backbiting. And if it's not true what you're saying or what the person is saying about this individual, it will be slandering the individual. And basically you have some companions that is said basically that three people are hurt. The person being told about this other person, the person who telling the backbiting thing, and the person you're backbiting. So it's like three people are hurt by you, say you, just a general you, backbiting an individual. Individual A is not there, B and C is there, and then C says something to B about A. That is, that may be true, and if it's true, it's backbiting. If it's not true, it's slander. And A, B, and C person all are hurt by the words. The one who is saying it, the one who is hearing it, and the one who is being backbitten. And so I want you all to keep in mind, because either maybe yourself a backbiter, every time you get around people, you talk about the person who's not there. And of course, understand, if you're not there, more than likely, you're going to be the one that the same individual is going to talk about. And you all know exactly what I'm saying. In no particular language, English or Spanish or anything like that, no particular language. You may know people who are like this. And you should correct that person on the spot that when they start backbiting another person or say, I don't want to hear it. Or walk away. Or please don't say that to the person because they are not there. This is Islamic standpoint. Even if I'm there talking to someone else and a third person there, I can't whisper to the other person and leave the third person out because they may think I'm talking about them for starters. So Islamically, I can't do that. I can't speak another language to someone else and the other person only understands another language that we're not speaking. That still is like speaking in that other person's ear and the third person is not benefiting from it at all and they may think that you're slandering them or backbiting an individual and that or talking about them, and this also, of course, is not good to do. So Islam is about transforming a person's behavior. They're going to transition from a bad behavior to a good behavior. If the person is backbiting someone or slandering someone, they want to stop doing that and transition or transfer to being a person that don't slander another person or doesn't backbite another person. And you can, none of us can, get equal or even with a person because a person backbite you or backbit you. Oh, he bit my back. Someone bite his back. And so, as I mentioned earlier about the ayah, the verse from Quran, in chapter 49, verse 12, where it talks about that basically when you backbite someone, it's like eating the dead flesh of your brother. And he would hate that. You would hate to do such a thing like that. To eat the dead flesh of your brother or your sister by backbiting them, or be a backbiter. It is also mentioned that if a believer is backbitten before someone and he helps the believer by refuting backbiting, then Allah will reward him well in this world and the next. In other words, if I hear someone backbiting someone else, I correct them. I stop them. And then Allah rewards me in this world and the next world. And if a believer backbitten before someone and he does not help him by not refuting the backbiting, then Allah will give him a bad return for that in this world and the next world. And so if I hear it and I'm like encouraging it, it's okay, not saying anything about it, then Allah may give me something bad or punish me in this world and in the next world. And so we have to be very careful about that. What is our stance on backbiting? Or someone slandering someone else? Are we amongst the people that say, hey, it's cool, it's okay, person not here, ha 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 ha. You're so right about that individual. So you have to be very, very careful about that. And ask Allah, if that's your weakness, then you ask Allah to strengthen you, to make you not be a backbiter, and also make you not be backbitten. And someone eats your flesh up because they're always backbiting you. The person that backbited someone all the time, really personally, I don't want to be around that individual. Be them related to me or not related to me. Being my own spouse or my children, anything like that, I don't want to be around them. Not at all. And I want to encourage them not to backbite someone else. Not to backbite at all. Because as I mentioned to you all almost every week, you all, I said that Allah, He can hear and knows all things. And so He can see all things. And He can see a black ant sitting on a black rock on a black night. So He's certainly well aware of what you say. And you have the angels writing down your good deeds and your bad deeds. You're not getting away with anything. Even if you do the backbiting in the dark or in a cave someplace, and you think no one around to hear you, but the person you're telling it to or the person you're on the phone with or whatever the case may be, and that still is being written in your book, and on the day of judgment, you're going to have to confess to that. Or you're going to have to stand up for that. Or that's going to be one thing against you. And you get your book in your back or in your left instead of your book in the front of you and being joyful that you got your book. Feel a joy because you got your book in your right hand in front of you and all these great deeds that you've done instead of getting behind you to your left side because all the bad deeds that you've done. And one of the bad deeds that you may be doing is that you backbiting people or you backbit people. And mentioned that the person who backbites someone else, they would not enter paradise. And Allah warns against don't backbite someone. No backbiting. No, don't be a person that backbites other people. It's also related by the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said, the atonement of backbiting a man is ask Allah to forgive him. So you want to atone for it. You ask Allah to forgive you. Allah, and seek repentance from Allah. I think I talked to you all about repentance and seek repentance. And part of being repenting to Allah and ask Allah's forgiveness is you don't do that thing. Okay, discontinue doing that thing. Immediately stop doing that thing. And so that's the same thing for backbiting. You ask Allah forgiveness and you immediately stop backbiting. You ask Allah forgiveness and then you continue to do the same thing. So then you ask Allah again. Okay, are you really sincere? You have to be sincere and have some remorse for what you're doing. And so saying doing it over and over again and not being sincere, have no remorse for doing it, then you're not really no sincerity and you ask Allah for forgiveness. Or are you backbiting people? You're serious about backbiting people, but you're not serious about asking Allah for forgiveness and seeking forgiveness and want to be forgiven by Allah and help Allah help you to stop doing that kind of activity. It's also mentioned that the Messenger of Allah, may peace be upon him, he passed by two graves. And he said, they are being punished, but they are not being punished for anything major. One of them is being punished because of urine, and the other is being punished because of backbiting. Let me kind of explain this a little bit. Because we're talking about here is that a person, when you're talking about urine, and it's on the person, basically it's on, I'll probably read something later on about that, basically a person who has urine on their clothing, or some kind of feces, something on their clothing, or they haven't cleaned themselves after going to the bathroom. And if you ever notice, when Muslims go, and we should be doing it, astinja, when a Muslim goes to, say, a public restroom, you may see a male or female Muslim, they would take some toilet tissue, they would wet it, and they would go inside the, I guess, a little booth or stall, and they would take care of their business, because what they're doing is that their wet tissue, they got to pour water on their private area or where they let the feces out or whatever, or they can just wipe it with the wet toilet tissue that you saw them wet up when they went into the stall. So if you see such a thing, that's what the Muslims are doing. They are basically purifying themselves, because after a person urinates, sometime a drop or so come out of their place where they urinated from. And that drop or so will come out and be on their clothing. And it's these people, they are not clean after they urinate, or some of the dropping, or because they didn't clean, some of the droppings, the spillage from their part of the where they urinate from or they defecate from, it got on their clothing. It spilled down and got into their clothing, which makes their clothing, so they make prayer, they're not really as purified or tahara as they should be in terms of them being properly clean. Okay, they may be in the state of Najaz or something like that, meaning dirty. And so we have to be very careful about that as Muslims. Those who are Muslims and those who are learning about Islam, you have to understand this is what we are supposed to do. It's recommended for us to do to make sure that we clean ourselves. And the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he came across, he said, you were saying in these two graves, he said, no, these people are not being punished for major things. They're really being punished for minor things. There's still a punishment in the grave, but they're being punished for minor things. And one is to urine, and the other is one is backbiting. And so both are wrong, and they're being punished in the grave because of them having urinating on themselves, or having urine on the clothing, or also being a backbiter. Is also mentioned by the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, during the Miraj. That's when he ascended to the prayer up to the heavens, and it's a long story involved with that. When I'm going to it right now, but part of it is that he was actually saw what's going to happen to people in the grave or afterlife. Allah bless him to see that what was happening in the afterlife in the grave and that kind of thing. So he come back to this to here. And tell us all about it. And it's easy for Allah to do. Allah created Adam without a man and a woman. And then he created Eve without a woman. And then he created Jesus without a man. So it's easy for Allah to do. Allah said, Kun fayakun. He said, be, and it is. And so it's not so surprising that Allah can allow Muhammad, may peace be upon him, to see what the activity that's going on in the grave or in the hellfire. Those people who did something wrong in this world, backbite or whatever, and so now they're suffering in the next world. This world is not the end, folk. When you die, you say, okay, rest in peace, R.I.P. Maybe some people are not resting in peace. That doesn't mean you don't bury them. So some people you may go and you might burn their body up, whatever, or do whatever to them, or float them, or throw them in the water. But still, their soul or whatever goes to Allah, and Allah judges it accordingly. You get rid of the body, but you can't get rid of the soul. And so Allah allowed Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, to see different things in the hereafter, in the grave, in the hellfire, and that kind of thing. And so one of the things he saw, he said, I saw a group of people who were scratching their chests and faces with copper nails. I asked, who are these people, O Jibril? Jibril replied, these are the people who ate flesh of others by backbiting and trample people's honor. And so I just want to warn you all, and warn for myself too, is that to be careful. We don't want to be part of the people, part of this group of people that are really taking these nails or these copper nails and scratching off our chest and scratching up our faces because we were the people that trampled on people's honor, and also we were ones that ate the flesh of the people back by backbiting. You may say, oh man, there's no problem. I got to worry about that kind of thing. Yeah, you need to worry about that kind of thing. You'd be in a whole nother world. It would not be in this world. And by the will of Allah, you may continue to do these things while you in that other world. And yes, we do believe that there is another world hereafter. This is what the Muslims believe. You may not believe it. That's your choice. But we believe it. I'd rather go and believe it and then to get there and is there and not believe it and to hear and then get to the hereafter and it's not and it's there. If I don't believe the hereafter is there and I get there not believing and not doing the things I need to do for the hereafter, then surprise, 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 I'm going to be faced with all the torture and the torment of the hereafter. I didn't believe in it. I did all the things, the negative things involved in the hereafter and the punishment and all. I did all those things, so I earned those things in the next world. But I did all the good I could in this world, and then I prepared myself for the next world and received the good of the next world. That's what we're striving for. We're striving for the good of this world, and we're striving for the good of the next world, and also protection from the hellfire. So you say, and we're saying to Allah, oh Allah, grant me the good of this world and grant me the good of the next world and protect it from the fire. And so let me move on, my beautiful students. It's also related that some of the friends of the Prophet, may peace be upon, they were going someplace with friends. They saw a dead mule whose belly was swollen up. And then Amir said, one of the people there, it is better for one of you to eat this full, to his full from the dead mule than to eat the flesh of a Muslim. He meant to say or to backbite anyone is worse than eating the meat of a dead animal. And some of us seen this before. When we ride it down the road, we see roadkill, but probably all over the place, deer, squirrels, or whatever it may be. And can you imagine eating those things and one of them dead on the road from natural causes, but their belly are all swollen up because of decay? And that it's better for us, according to this brother, better for us to eat that than to suffer, eat the flesh of our brother or our sister or someone else that we say that we love, but every chance we get, we say bad things about the individual. It was also reported by Jabir ibn Abdullah. He said that they had accompanied the Prophet of Allah when they came to graves. I'm going to just give you more information about what I read to you earlier. Both the inmates of the graves were being punished. He said they are being punished not for committing a grave sin, but yes, they are grave sins. Though on the face of it, they are ordinary and it's easy to avoid them, but their punishment is severe. One of them was given to backbite others, while the other was not. Careful to clean yourself of urine drops over your body. And then ask for one to the two branches. He asked for basically two branches, or you call palm of date palms, and he split it in half. And he put one. He kind of dug on the grave. He put one on top of each grave. And then afterward, he said, "Soon their punishment will be softened, as long as the branches are green," or he said, "until they dry up." In other words, he asked Allah to relieve these people of the punishment that they were receiving because they backbit people and they had urine on their clothes and didn't clean it off, and that they put he put these two sort of date palms on their graves, and may Allah relieve them from the punishment they're receiving while these leaf palms are green or until they dry up. And so show also the mercy of the Prophet for people who are dead. He is very merciful to people who are alive, of these people who are dead suffering in their grave, and he still had compassion for them and basically said that would they get some relief. I hope that they get some relief from whatever the torture they're going through, because one was had urine on his clothes, didn't clean it, and the other was a backbiter, and may they be relieved from the punishment while they are in the grave. And we know that Allah, he said, I mentioned you all earlier, is that he said, also for us to not backbite one another, and would you like to eat the flesh of his dead brother, you would hate it. And so Allah mentioned this to us about not backbiting each other. And I mentioned you all also about the Prophet seeing people in the hellfire and the torture that he saw in the hellfire. And that was, he saw people, they had copper nails, and then they were scratching their faces, scratching their chest, because they were people that backbit other people and dishonored other people. So that was their torment in the grave. I'm just warning us right now, not just you, also warning myself, that we can possibly be people that backbite other people, and this is what could happen to us if we do those kind of things. But we can also be people who don't backbite other people, and that we will end up, it will be one that will be in the graces of Allah. And Allah's mercy be on us. Alayda. And so, my beautiful students, please keep in mind when you're talking about backbiting. Muslims, be aware of backbiting. And those who are non-Muslims, listen to me, be aware of backbiting. It's not cute. It's not funny. You want to be popular or something like that because you're backbiting another person. Even be careful when you text or email something, that you could very well be backbiting a person. We got this new technology now, not like whispering in someone's ear. We can also do things on social media where it's be hurtful to the other person. And again, if you're doing on social media, as I said before, you hurt the person you're telling to, the person that you're telling to, the person you're talking about, and yourself. And so now you're doing on social media where you're telling to a lot of people, maybe hundreds of thousands and millions of people, you're telling this thing about this individual. So you're hurting a lot of people. And you're hurting yourself, and you're hurting the person that you're talking about. So be very, very careful, because this social media has made it so we can really hurt more people. I'm not saying hurting one person is better than hurting a bunch of people. Both are wrong. And both of Allah may punish you for that. But you be careful about what you say on Facebook and Instagram and texting people and emailing people, being very careful about that. With using technology to backbite other people, because it applies. Not just whispering to people, but also saying something about people that are true, backbiting them, or slandering people, saying something about them that is not true. And so, my beautiful students, I think you all got the message about backbiting, and hopefully one that's doing this kind of thing, that you would stop. And also, if you know someone is doing you advise them to stop, or you walk away from it and you don't want to hear it. I want to also remind you've been listening to Islamic Faith and Focus. And remind you also, you can also go to Why Islam, find out more information about Islam. You go to the International Online University to learn more about Islam, the American Open University to learn more about Islam, and also on a very basic level, You can also go to embracereverb.org and you find out very basic information about Islam. They have videos there and other things like that that you can find out more about Islam. The very basic things. You have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.